Okay, today's Daf is Daf Ayin Gimel. Welcome everybody back to the Daf. Baruch Hashem, I saw a number of our listeners in Eretz Yisrael. I welcome them, a part of the Seer of Tar Shul as well. It's wonderful to see everybody, and we're back to Ksubas Daf Ayin Gimel. And yesterday and other Dafim that I wasn't here for, as you imagine, were unbelievable Dafim. Yesterday's Daf, if you want more information, I know Michael said he did not mention it. There was a shiur that I gave on Kisui Rosh on the shul website, cbey.org, more discussing the Ritva from yesterday and others. If anybody wants more on Ksubas Ayin Beis, at least the part about Kisui Rosh, out of the many topics from yesterday. Today we're going to start with the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis Mabeis, Hamakadesh. And this parak, hence the name Hamadir, this parak talks all about Nedarim and Tnaim, making conditions. We started a little bit today. Tomorrow we get into some Iker sugyas related to making Tnaim on various occasions. Okay, let's get into the Mishnah. Hamakadish is a isha amnashein alenadarim, but nimsa alenadarim. Somebody gets married on condition, the first stage of marriage, kiddushin, on condition that his wife does not have any nadarim. And it comes out, lo and behold, that she had nadarim. After the kiddushin, he finds out that the condition that he made was not fulfilled. The condition was, he can make any condition that he wants, that you don't have any nadarim, and there are nadarim, so then the kiddushin does not work. Kansastam, you just close that door after it finishes. Kansastam, nimsal nadarim, tezish lebuksuba. What happened if a person gets married and then finds nadarim after the marriage takes place? Kansa usually means nisuin, the second stage. We'll see in the Gemara if that is totally true. Then tezish lebuksuba. So then the marriage does work, but the husband does not have to pay the ksuba. Tezish lebuksuba. Is line 2 connected to line 1 or not? That's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Rashi already points that out. So the first line is Kiddushin, Eidim Kudeshes, Bakansa Stam, so then Tetzin Shalobak Suba. Similarly, Amanashein Ba Mumin, Vidim Suba Mumin, Eidim Kudeshes. On condition, if a man does Kiddushin, on condition that his wife does not have any Mumin, what type of Mumin? We'll see in a minute. Vidim Suba Mumin, Eidim Kudeshes. And Mumin art found in Eidim Kudeshes. Again, it's a condition al Tanai which was not fulfilled. Kansa Stam, Vidim Suba Mumin, Tetzin Shalobak Suba. If the marriage takes place and Mumin are found, Teji Shalobik Suba. Again, he does not have to pay the Ksuba, but they are married because he did not explicate it explicitly. Kol HaMumin, Apostle B'Kohanim, Apostle B'Nashim. The last line of the Mishnah, any Mum that passels by Kohanim, passels by Nashim. The Mishnah is in the middle of Mesechus Bechoros, talk about what type of Mumin are passel for Kohanim in terms of doing the Avoda. Those same Mumin are passel by Kohanim. The Gemara will talk about it, Davayin Hei, in a couple of Dafim. Are there any differences? Because if you look at some of those Mumin, you know, if you're a lefty, you know, you might not be able to do the Avoda. What, if you can't marry a lefty? That's a Mum. If you didn't know your wife was a lefty. So let's see if there's an exact parallel to the movement of Kohanim and the movement of marriage. Right, so the apostle by a woman. So
parallel,
so it could probably, apostle is probably just to be parallel, use that lashon by a woman. You also might say it apostles the agreement. You know, but even though apostle is not usually related, apostle is usually related to a mitzvah. Related to a mitzvah, maybe unless you know, apostle for this mitzvah, assuming condition is a mitzvah, but you're right, it's an unusual lashon, probably just used for parallelism. Okay, says the Gemara, V'tzran nami gabi kiddushin ki yagavna. We have the same Mishnah by kiddushin. Amanas, right, a mumin, and a nedarim. You make a kiddushin, so why is this Mishnah repeated both in Mesechus Ksubis, which, again, the Iker line is the second line, but why is it repeated here and there? That's how Rashi interprets the question. Pashtus, why do you have the Mishnah in both places? Shizvi Kubetzes has a little different shot in what the question is here. The Gemara does not say, Tanina Chadazimna. Usually we have that when you have a Mishnah that we already have. Tanina Chadazimna, you already have it. So the Shimon Kubetzes thinks that the question here isn't that the Mishnah appears there also. Because that doesn't sound that way from the Lashon. But really, the problem is the Lashon. The problem is the Seder of the Mishnayos. Why by Kiddushin isn't the line about Kiddushin first? And why by Ksuba isn't the line of Ksuba first? In both places, the order of the lines are the same. First is the Kiddushin line, and then is the Knisa, then the Tetzei Shalobik Ksuba line. So that's the question. Why is the language the same? Mashmi l'chor d'kametama amai Tetzei hacha u'b'kiddushin b'chada gavna. D'hacha havli lak du'meitin Ksuba b'resha. The Ksuba line should be first, and in both places, the Kiddushin line is first. That's the question. And then the Shidah says, though, that I don't like this pshat because I don't know how to read the next line of the Gemara then. And you have to say Rashi's pshat, because what's the answer of the Gemara? Let's see the answer now. What's the answer the Gemara gives? The Gemara says, no, hacha ksubis is trichalei. Over here, ksubis is the chiddush, the ikker, so tana kedushin atu ksubis. So therefore it says kedushin atu ksuba. Really, it's, you're right, it's not needed, but it throws a kedushin once it's talking about ksuba. Hasam kedushin is trichalei, tana ksubis atu kedushin. So over there, kedushin is the ikker, so it throws in ksuba. So what's that answer? So according to Rashi Pshat, it fits in very well. The question of the Gemara was, what do you need the mishnah in both places? The answer is, you're right, you don't need the mishnah in both places, but it threw in the second half once it was talking about the first half, because it's similar. But what's the answer if you take the other pshat? If you take the other pshat of the question, the Shidduch says, why is the order the same in both? So it's a little more difficult to understand why the answer of the Gemara. The Shidduch tries to work it out. But again, the maskana of the Shita is like, I like Rashi's pshat, because the answer of the Gemara flows in a smoother fashion. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Tzadik. Be'elu Nedarim Amru. By which Nedarim do we say that this Mishnah applies? If you make a condition, or let's leave it open. At one of the lines of the Mishnah, which we'll see which lines we're talking about, there's a limitation to which types of nedarim we're talking about, either that you made the condition about, or that you found that your wife has these nedarim upon her after the marriage. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, three nedarim. Shlotoch al basar, if she says, I will not eat meat, v'shalotish tayayin, she says, I will not drink wine, v'shalotish kashid b'vigdei tzevonim, and I will not beautify myself with colorful garments. These are the nedarim that we say break up the marriage. Break up the condition or break up the marriage if it's found afterward, as we'll see. Tani nami hachi, also the Nebraisa says, Be'ilu nedarim amru, dvarim sheish ben inui nefesh. Only nedarim that have inui nefesh, that cause a certain type of suffering of inui to one of the parties involved. Shelo toch habasav, shelo tish tayayim, shelo tish kashet, be big day tzivon. Who has the inui nefesh here? What does this mean? Dvarim sheish bem inui nefesh. Who has the inui nefesh here? Is this the usually inui nefesh means there's something that hurts him? If it hurts him, then that's breaking up the marriage. If she doesn't want to do something, then it's her problem. As long as it doesn't affect him. So Rashi here on Shalot Tochal Basar, Rashi says tahave inui nefesh umisgane alav. Rashi seems to be emphasizing that the inui nefesh here is not stand that, what if she doesn't eat, she's a vegetarian, so what does that have to do with me? Rashi is saying no, that if she's a vegetarian, or if she doesn't drink wine, or if she doesn't, the clothing one, maybe you could understand, if she doesn't wear nice clothing, then it's going to affect the husband. But in terms of the other ones, also Rashi seems to be emphasizing that it's an issue with him. These affect him, and that's why it breaks up the marriage. Like the Mishnah said yesterday, the Mishnah at the beginning of Ayin Beis, where it says that Vinoderes Veinim Kayemes, right? So Teitei Shalom B'Ksubas. I'm sure Michael discussed this. All the ones in the Mishnah yesterday are things that break up a marriage. If a woman is a Mechal Shabbos, maybe that's not a good. If a woman, you know, does some of Eir, she wears Shatnez. She likes to wear Shatnez. So fine, he could divorce her, but she has to pay the Ksuba. If she's a Baal Aveira, he has to pay the Ksuba. Only if there's an Aveira that's breaking up the marriage institution, do we say that he gets the divorce without a Ksuba. So if she's B'Sham Shaso Nida, if he gives him Shrei food. So these are things between them. So the Mishnah also says, No Deres Veinim Mekayemes. So what do you mean? If she makes Nedarim and she's not Mekayemes them, so why does that break up the marriage? That's just Stam and Avarian. That's what the Gemara says. That no, because Ba'avon Nedarim Banim Mesim. Because through Nedarim, Rachman al-Aslan, through Nedarim, and children don't make it. So here too, when it says Inu Nefesh, Rashi seems to be emphasizing that it's Dafka, something that affects him. There is a major machlokas we've shown him here, quoted in the Rashba, in the Ritva. Are these three examples, or are these three specific? The Ritva here quotes that Lav Dafkahani. These three, what's so special about not meat, wine, and clothing? These aren't unique. Ela inhu v'chol dichvasayu. Anything like these. Sheish ben inu nefesh oshu midram shebein olavina. V'noket hanu d'shlichi tvei. He just quoted these because they are the most common. And then the Ritva quotes, v'yesh la harayvid bazed dvarim she'ena mechuvarin. The Ravid says some things here that are not clear, that I don't agree with. Does not say what they are. So for that, you got to look at the Ritva's Rebbe. You got to look at the Rashba. The Rashba quotes the Ravid. He's not scared to quote the Ravid. So he said the Ravid says that these three are specific. Only these three. Why? The Ravid seems to be emphasizing, like Rashi, because these three specifically are nedarim that she can make that affect him. But avo nedarim achirim lo, but nedarim achirim do not achieve the status of a mum. Right? You know, many people might have nedarim, but these three specifically are ones that would break up the marriage, that would affect him, and therefore the halacha would apply. So again, the Ritva and the Rashba argues on the Ravid as well, but at least there is the sheet of the Ravid. Interestingly here, the Ravid agrees with the Rambam. The Rambam himself seems to say specifically these three. The Ravid doesn't argue, obviously, because he agrees with him. The Rambam says in Hilchos Ishus, "Ha'omer li'isha, ha'ri ha'mekudeshes li bazeh amrash in alecha nedarim, v'nimsa aleha echad mishloshe nedarim elu." And you found one of these three nedarim on her. Shlo toch avasar, shlo tishta yain, shlo tishkashi b'gli savonim, ein ha'mekudeshes. Nimsa aleha neder chutz me'elu. What if you find a neder? He makes this tie, and you find a different neder other than these three. Afal pishu omer makpidani. Even though he says I'm makpid. Still, afilu alzeh, areizim mukudeshes. The kedushin works only these three. Again, we'll have to do more research why specifically these three, but that's what the Ravid says. That's what the Rambam seems to say. The other chachmei sfar, the Rashba and the Ritva argue, but this is the machlokas rishonim about this issue. Are these three specific or are they examples? Continuing now, five lines from the bottom. Havi barav papa ahai. So our papa says, asks ahai. Which part of the Mishnah is this limitation of Nedarim going on? We have this limitation. The Mishnah only applies to these Nedarim. So the Mishnah had two statements. The Mishnah had statement one, what we'd call the Reisha. He's Makadesh explicitly Amanas that she has no Nedarim and she has Nedarim. The second line of the Mishnah, let's assume for now, we're not going to assume this later, but let's assume for now there are two separate statements. Konsistam, the second line of the Mishnah talks about you don't do anything, you just get married. You don't make any conditions, and you find out there's a dharma afterwards, then you're married, but you do not have to pay the ksuba. Tezish lo b'ksuba. So which line of the Mishnah is this statement of Rabbi Yochanan going on? So Ilema Reisha, is it going on the Reisha that only these three break up a marriage? So that doesn't make sense. Why? Because if he makes a tnai, I don't want you to have any nedarim, so it should include anything, not only these three. He can make any tnai he wants. I'm going to ask that it snows tomorrow. I'm going to ask... So why should it be limited to these three? So Ella Seifa. So says Rav Papa, it must be going on the Seifa, in the Seifa where he says nothing. He just gets married and then he finds Nedarim on her. So then when does he not have to pay the Ksuba? Only by these three. Ravashi Yama Lola Maresha. Ravashi says, no, maybe it could be going on the Resha too. But when a person says, Almanasa, you don't have any Nedarim, the Umdina is that he has specific ones in mind. We estimate his das. Anything that normal people are makud about is, we assume, to be his kpeda. And anything that's not normal, we don't assume was in his das. In a chinami, if he says, Almanas, that you do not have any nedarim at all whatsoever, even besides these three, you make some type of tonight like that, then that he can make such a tonight. He can make any condition that he wants. But this is saying he just made a general condition of Einalan nedarim. So then we say that only what general people have in mind. That's probably Mefurah, seems to be where the Rambam that we just read gets it from. Because the Rambam says, even if he says, Makpadani, it doesn't matter. Period. Okay. Itmar, says the Gemara. Kitsha al tanai v'kansastan. So now we have this case. Man, kiddushin and nisuin, right? Kansa generally means the second stage of marriage. Kitsha al tanai, man gets married on a condition, but once he gets, at the moment of marriage, he does not explicate the condition again. Let's assume, to make it simple, like the olden days, they did it 12 months separate. So, when he gets married at the kiddushin, so he makes this condition, that almanas, that you don't have any movement. But 12 months later, he does not reiterate it. So, what does that tell us? Does that tell us anything or not? So, machlokas. Rav Amar Tzricha Hemenu Get. Rav says they are married. They are married. He did not explicate the condition again, and therefore, for some reason, which we'll see in a minute why not, they are married. V'Shmuel Amar Eina Tzricha Hemenu Get. Shmuel says no get is needed. Look, he made a condition earlier, and he still bedaz that condition. So what is that machlokas about? So Amar Abaya. Abaya says, we're going to focus on the Shita of Rav. Lo Teima Taima De Rav. Abaye says there are two possibilities what the Shita of Rav is. Again, what's the case? He makes a condition at the moment of the Kiddushin, and he does not reiterate it at the moment of the Nisuin. Rav says, they're married. They're married. Why? Don't say the reason for Rav is, what's the first possibility that could have been? Kiva shekonsa stam achule achle litznai. Hey, he did not reiterate it at the moment of the Nisuin, so it must be he was mochel. originally 12 months ago, you know, I made the kiddushin al tnai, but now after 12 months, I'm getting to know you a little better. You know, I'm mochel. I just want to be married to you. I don't care about the kiddushin. So Abaye says that's one possibility for Rav, but that's not the pshat. That's not the pshat. Don't say that he was mochel. Don't say that he was mochel. Ela taima de Rav. What's the real reason for Rav? Lefi she'ein adam ose bi'ilaso bi'ilaznus. Because a person does not want to make his bia into a bias znus. Meaning, a person always wants, you know, his bia to have halachic permission and not to be considered znus in the eyes of the rabbis. Does this really mean, the Berachas Avraham has this chakira, does this really mean that a person is thinking about it? I don't want this to be znus, and therefore, whatever way for it not to be znus, I have that in mind. He has that in mind, or he has nothing like that in mind. But it's just that if we would ask him, so then, you know, he would answer, I don't want it to be his nus. So he has that either way. But that's the Berachas Avraham's question. But either way, let's take the first one, that a person will do anything not to have his action to be considered to be his nus. And if we're here, so what happened? At the moment of the Kiddushin, he made a Tznai. At the moment of the Nisuin, if he would still want the Tznai to be fulfilled, then it would end up his B would be a Bias Nus. So therefore, Rav says, we can assume that he's letting go on the Tznai, on the condition, in order for his Bia to be considered a Bia Shel marriage. And therefore, he gives in on the Tznai. But, Rashi adds in, there's a big nafkamina between these two reasons of Abaya, suggestion, and that is, does he have to pay the ksuba? That's the nafkamina, says Rashi. According to the first rejected pshat, he's mochel, that it would be totally mochel, you don't have to pay the ksuba anymore. You have to pay the ksuba. If you say the reason for Rav that they're married is that he was mochel, said he's fully married now and he didn't have to pay the ksuba. But says Rashi, no, that's the chiddush of Abaya. That the real reason for Rav is not that he's mochel. He really would want this condition to be in effect, but you know what? He wants his bia to be a recognized bia in halacha. He doesn't want it to be a bia's nus, and therefore, we say that, he wouldn't be married, but he would not have to pay the ksuba. That's what Rashi says, the nafkamina is between the two. Good. The Rishonim here ask, the Ran and the Rashba asks, so what is, according to Rashi, well, had Rashi just explain it. So it's not a bias nus, because he wants the kiddushin, he wants the marriage to be without the tanai, but he does not have to pay the ksuba. But didn't we just have a Mishnah a few weeks ago, beginning of paragraph LP, that if you don't have a ksuba, it's called a bias nus? Harezu bi'ilas nus. According to Rabbi Meir, on Dafnun Dalal Mabez, at the beginning of that parak. So, if you know what we said, if you can't live without a ksuba, if you're living in marriage without a ksuba, that's a bias nus. So, ask the Rishonim. So, what's going on here? We just got out of the problem of Einan Losa Bilas Obilas Nus, and therefore we say that he forgoes the Tanai, but he still doesn't have to be the ksuba, he's not mochel. What are you talking about? If he doesn't have to be the ksuba, that means it's a bias nus. So what's the difference? You solved one problem, but you got into another problem. That's the question of the Rashba and the Ran. So the Ran gives Pashat answer. The Ran asks this question, Lama Gimel, Lama Beis, in the Dafei Arif. The Ran says, no, when do we say that if you live with a woman without a ksuba, it's a bias nus? That's only once you're married. If you're married and you live with a woman without a ksuba, then that's called a bias nus. But this is the act of the marriage. The act of the marriage, that's not called a bias nus. If it's a bia l'shem kiddushin, which might be l'shem nisuin, if it this is the act of marriage, that's not a bias nus. It's only once you're married. Says the Ran, is it called a bias nus? The Rashba, they'll move on. The Rashba has a different take, a different answer on what the Rashba. The Rashba has a different answer. Again, what's the question? The question is that the Gemara just explained that according to the Rav Svar is ein adam osa bilas bilas nus. So it must be that he forgoes on the Tanai. But he still does not have to pay the ksuba. But what do you mean? If you don't have to pay the ksuba, that also is a bias nus, according to Rabbi Meir. So says the Rashba, a different answer. What is she thinking? When is it a bias nus? It's a bias nus if a woman thinks she's getting the ksuba and she does not have one. But let's say she knows she's not going to get a ksuba. So we had that, we mentioned a few weeks ago from Rabbi Elchanan. If they both agree to it, so maybe it's not a bias nus. So here, he made it tznai. She knows if she has nadarim. She knows if she has mumin. So that's not a bias nus then, because she knows she's going to lose it. Says the Rashba, it's only bias nus if she's not so mechaz das. If she is so mechaz das, she shouldn't be. Shiny hasav shu yodei ba she ain't daita so mechaz v'yadim seres lo el kizona. V'kivin shekein, that's a problem. Aval kan adarabai. Here she knows she has a lack, and if she's not going to get her ksuba. And therefore, that is not a bias nus. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Again, what's the machlokas? A man gets married, kiddushin, Kiddush, Peshas Kiddushin, he makes a Kiddushin, Peshas Nisuin, he does not reiterate it. So what's the halacha? So Rav says, Tzricha himenu get. We assume, like Rabbi just explained, Ein Adam Osa Bilasa Bilas Nus, a person doesn't want his Bia to be a Maisa's Nus, and therefore, it must be that he foregoes on the original Tanai, and he's married. He doesn't have to be the Ketubah, because he's not totally Mochel. That is Shitas Rav. What Shitas Shmuel? The Gemara doesn't say. So what Shitas Shmuel? The Gemara doesn't say here that literally, Adam Osa Bilas Bilas Nus. The person doesn't want his Bia to be Bia's Nus. But just the contrast is, we have to say, according to Shmuel, we don't assume that everybody has everything in their mind to prevent their Bia from being Znus. Not that they go out of their way to make it Znus, but we assume that a person acts based on what he originally stated. And therefore, if he originally stated there should be a condition, we assume that he's still omed in that das. That a person continues to think what he originally had in mind. Yeah?
Because the second way that the Bia from understood, why should something that we're putting in your mind override a condition that you explicate?
According to the second way the Bia from says, that it's only if we would actually ask him.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, that's an
umdana,
right?
That it's a total umdana. We assume that he would want this.
Why, according to Shmuel, why should that override a condition?
Right, according to Shmuel, I mean, it makes more sense. If it's an umdana, really, we should go based on what he said originally. Well, we'll see. The Gemara is going to talk about that. It's a better and worse, but he did say that originally, but now he didn't. So maybe it should be different because he didn't say it now. So the Gemara says, Hapliki b'chad azimna. One minute, didn't we have this similar machlokas Rav and Shmuel elsewhere? De'itmar, we had him in Sechaz Yivamis. K'tana shlomiyana v'gdila. Miyun. Remember the parak about miyun? K'tana shlomiyana. We know, mida araisa, a woman can get married either by herself, or if she's a tana, her father can marry her off. But if her father is not around, father died, let's say, the mother and brothers can marry her off, mida rabanan. And up until she's 12 years old, she's allowed to walk out of that marriage without a get. That's called miyun. So let's say this ketana, she became of age, 12 years old, and she became a gdola, and, important point, Rashi emphasizes, they had a bia. They had a bia, the husband was bowl her after she was a gdola. And then she went and married somebody else. Umda v'nisseis. So now, what's the halacha? So Rav Amar ain't sricha get misheni. Rav says, the second marriage doesn't get off the ground. You don't need a get, why? Because once he had the bia, b'shas gadlos, they're married. We assume that once she's a gadola, the husband wants his bia to be a non-bia's nus, and therefore we assume he knew she was a katana, and now she's a gadola, and he's baller l'shem marriage. Shmuel says, no. Shmuel says, you need a get from the second one. Why? Because we assume, as Shmuel said here, you always have in mind what the original status was. So in our case, he had in mind that you wanted the condition, and here he had in mind that she's a katana. Maybe you weren't sure that that things change when she's a gdola. But either way, Shmuel says you always go by the original das. So it's the same machlokes. So why do you need the machlokes both by the conditions case and by the miyun case? So the Gemara says sricha. You need it in both places. Diat mar biyahi, if you only had it by the miyun case, biyahi ka'amar Rav. Maybe only by the miyun case, Rav could say, forget what happened before, because here now we assume everybody knows that maisa kedushin is nothing, and he's baal hashem kedushin marriage. Aval, bishop delekatzna. Aval, bahadi ikatzna, even modelil shmuel. But in our case, like Yisrael just asked, but maybe in a case where he specifically made a condition before, we have to go by that condition. How could you say the umdana overrides the tnai? And therefore we would say he still has the tnai in mind. Kamash malan, that's why you have the machlokas there too, that even there Rav says he foregoes the tnai. Vietra baha, and the same thing the opposite way. If you only had the condition case, baha kamar shmuel, maybe only over there Shmuel says he's still, you don't need to get Misheni, because he made the Tanai earlier. But elsewhere, but in our case of the Miyun, maybe he would agree to Rav, that everybody knows that Maisa Kedushin is, Maisa Katan is nothing, and he's Baal L'Shem Gadlus, Kamash Malan, Sricha, that's why you need both cases. Okay. Related to Ein Adam Osa Bilasa Bilas Nus, there's a very important Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchas Geirishin, Yud Yutes. Gerishin Yud Yotes. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim. What if you see two people? Oh, what is this lashon? We paskin like this Yisod. Ain't other most people also be. What if you see two people being mizanev? You assume they're married. They need a get from each other. Ain't other most people also be las nus. So every time two people are mizana, and let's say you assume the principle that we know of hein hein ede yichud hein hein ede bia, that edim do not have to see, right? You need edim for a marriage. So edim, you don't have to have the edim to see the maisa bia, you have to see the ede yichud, and you see them going into private. So every time you see two people being mizana, they need to get from each other. So the Rambam says, some goonim say yes. Yud Yates. Horu mixas gaonim. Shekalisha shetibol bifnei edim tzricha get. Any woman who's boel bifnei edim, any woman, needs a get. Chazaka inan osa bilasa bilas nus. Vihigdila vahosifu, and the gaonim even went a step further, says the Rambam, that they said, if a person has a ben from his own shifcha, you have to assume that they were married, that he was meshachra her. Inan osa bilasa bilas nus. Says the Rambam, v'chol advar me'elu rechokim heim be'enai ad ma'od. These things are very far from me. Midarkei ha'orav, ein roi lismoch aleihem. Why? Shelo amru chachamim chazaka zu. When do we say the chazaka, ein adam osa bilasa bilas nus? Ela be'ishto shegir shebovad. If you had a wife and you divorced her, and now you lived with her again. Obe mekadish al tznai. Or you're in a context of marriage. Shahare hi ishto. But in Stamas Nus case, you don't say in Adam Sabila Zos by a zona. Right? Ava Bishar Nashim Hari calls zona, but cheska shabal l'shem znus. Actually, if I shul l'shem kedushin. That's a very important Rambam. There's some going in that say every time the woman is boel, you know, have to be worried that she's doing get l'shem marriage. Says the Rambam, no way. This principle is limited to a case of a wife. Or a previous wife, or a potential wife, something like that. That's when you say in Adam Sabila Znus. And related to this, there is a shuv of the Radvaz, and then we'll move on. The Radvaz says, in Shin Nun Aleph, Aleph Shin Nun Aleph, the Radvaz has thousands of shuvas. Sha'al to me, man, you asked me, Odiya Chadaiti, B'mumar Shagirish Ezishto Bodo Yehudi. A man, a Jewish man, divorced his wife, and then he went off the Dera, then he became a mumar, then he became a heretic. And then, after he became a heretic, he had Yichud with his wife, in front of Edom. And, add in, V'kfar Naso Sabar Koseim, they already decided to have a civil marriage. So, does he need a get? Then, they were happily married, they got divorced, he becomes a mumar, I guess she also becomes kind of mumarish if she's going to marry him again, they get a civil marriage, and then they had yuchud. Do we say that she needs a get? So he says, l'chora, of course you need a get. Not only according to the Gaonim, we know which Gaonim he's talking about, but even according to the Rambam, because he was married to her already, and there were Edom here, he needed a yuchud, he needed a biyah. So therefore, for sure, you should need one. But then he says, no. Then he says, no. I paskin that she does not need to get here. Amazing. Eish is ish. You might say, Lachumra. No, I paskin, she does not need to get here. Why? A number of reasons. Number one, Kidushe Mumar Lavdo Raisa Ninu. If a heretic gets married, it's only a Chumra Durabban on that. Because a Mumar is a status of a guy for many areas. For Kidushin, he has a status of a guy, assumes the Radvaz. And therefore, it's only a Chumra Durabban. So it's a suffix what he had in mind, a suffix on a Durabban, suffix Durabban on Lakula. That's number one. And there's the Sue, and this is what's important for us. When do you see the principle? Ella be Yisrael HaKasher. Shuhu Zahir B'mitzvahs. Dilo Shavik Atir V'achli Surah. When do you see the principle of Ein Adam Osa B'Yisrael HaBilas Nus? When does the Chazak apply? By people who keep Halacha. Right? Oh, Afilu B'Yisrael Stam. Avo Mumar Shuhu Over Akola Torah Kula. V'hu Paretz Ba'arayis. U'Begvios. Yisrael Chazak. You say he eats treif and he mishal every mitzvah in the Torah. Ein adam osa bilas bilas nus? You don't say that. So now we have two important limitations. So number one, the Rambam limits this chazaka to a context of a wife, a previous wife, a potential wife, etc. That's in Yud Yates and Gerishin. The Radvaz limits this to people who keep halacha. If somebody doesn't keep halacha in general, then you don't say that there's this principle of ein adam osa bilas bilas nus. Unless the Radvaz answers, the Radvaz that says at the end, if he goes in and says, I am doing this l'shem marriage of a Jew. If he says he's doing this l'shem halacha, then obviously he is. But other than that, short of that, says the Radvaz, we say that you don't say the ein adam osa bilas nus principle, except by Yehudim k'sherim. Okay, Tznan, four lines from the bottom. So we're going to now relate our Mishnah to the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So let's get back to what's the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel again. A man gets married, kiddushin, he makes conditions, but at the time of the nisuin, he doesn't mention it. So, what do we say? So, Rav says, we assume that he forewent the conditions, and therefore, you need a get. Shmuel says, no, we assume the conditions are still strong, and therefore, no get is needed. Tanan, Katzah, Stam, Nimsal, and Adarim, Tejas, Lobaksu, but a second line of our Mishnah said that if a man gets married without saying anything, and then he finds Adarim, she goes out without a Ksuba. Ksuba, Ujalo, Bayah, Gitabay. And what do we, Mashba? You don't have to be the Ksuba, but they're married. He has to give her a get, so my lav isn't the second line of the Mishnah modifying the first line of the Mishnah. Kidsha al tnai v'kantastam v'tiyuvta de Shmuel. So isn't our Mishnah, shouldn't you read line 1 and line 2 of our Mishnah together, and therefore it would be a kasha on Shmuel, because then what's our Mishnah saying? If you made a kiddushin at the time of kiddushin, and you got married without saying anything, you need a get. Says Mefurish against Shmuel. So shouldn't you read line 1 and line 2 together? Says the Gemara, no. Lo, The second line of the Mishnah is a separate, independent statement, not connected to the first line of the Mishnah. The second line of the Mishnah, in a case where you said nothing, you just got married without saying anything, so in that case, you are married. And you might not have to give the ksuba, but you're totally married if you find a darim. But what happened to the case that we were bothered by? If you made a condition at the time of the kiddushin, and you got her kontestam, how can I be delobay gid? You wouldn't need to get. Like Shmuel Shita. So the Gemara says, if that's true, if it's true that the Mishnah is to be read like Shmuel, to be understood even according to Shmuel Shita, then why does the Mishnah even say the first line of the Mishnah? What did the first line of the Mishnah say? A person makes a condition that his wife has known a darim, and then he finds the darim, not married. According to Shmuel, there's an even greater kiddush the Mishnah could have said. He makes a condition at the time of the kiddushin, and then he gets married without saying anything. That's a greater kiddush. So why did the Mishnah say that? So listening, why did the Mishnah say that case? Surely, if there's just a kiddushin with an explicit tanai, it will uproot the marriage. So there's a bigger kiddush. So where it says hakanami kamar, you're right. That chiddush is really included in the Mishnah. The Rashba here says this is not exactly a chisurei mechsera. Doesn't say that here. We're not taking out and switching words. It's just that this is how we should understand the Mishnah, as follows: Hamakadis hasheisa amashein al nedarim bekonsastam. If a man marries a woman on condition that there are no nedarim, and he was kones her stam, v'nimso al nedarim enim kodeshes. The first line of the Mishnah when it says mekadesh, it also means konsa. But it's not a chisurei mechsera. It's just, it left out that detail, but we're not switching anything. So the first line of the Mishnah is saying exactly Shmuel Shita, that if a man makes a kiddushin at the time of the kiddushin and does not say a word at the time of the nisuin, that is not a marriage. Second line of the Mishnah, kinshastam v'kanshastam teizish lo b'ksuba. The second line of the Mishnah is if you don't say anything, regular case, a man marries a woman without saying a word about any condition, and he comes and he marries her, and then he finds out she has these nedarim that she has with her. So in that case, they're married, but he does not have to pay the ksuba. Ksuba, do I bet? I'll get by you. So the Gemara now asks, we never asked this question. Maishta ksuba, do I bet? So why is this? Let's see a regular case of marriage. What did we just say, according to the Mishnah, according to Shmuel? A regular case of marriage, and you find that your wife has nedarim that you didn't know about beforehand, you are fully married, but you do not have to pay her the ksuba. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Either they should be married with the ksuba, or they shouldn't be married and shouldn't have to pay the ksuba. What's the middle ground of they're married, but he does not have to pay the ksuba? What's the svara for that? Why doesn't he have to pay the ksuba? Because he's allowed to say, I don't want to marry a woman who makes the darim all day. I don't want that, so that's why he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. So the Gemara says, Ihachi get nami lo tibai. So he shouldn't have to pay the get either. Shouldn't have to give her a get either. They shouldn't be married. If it's a serious issue, it should break up the marriage. If it's not such a serious issue, then it should have to pay the ksuba anyway. So the Gemara has two answers. Amar Rabba, tzricha get mi devrayhem. Rabba says, no, you need a get mi derabbanan. You're right, mi de oraisa, this is nothing. Mi de oraisa, they're not married. Because she had these nedarim, it breaks up the marriage. It's a serious issue. Mi derabbanan, you know, you went through the marriage, you should give a get mi derabbanan. You should get mi derabbanan. The Ritva says, even if you just had to have kiddushin, you should do it mi derabbanan. V'chein amar avchisa, tzricha get mi devrayhem. Number one. Number two, second answer, Rav Amar, Tana Sifuki Misafkale. We're not sure. We're not sure what a person had in mind. And therefore, you know what? We're Machmir. In one way. Gabi Mamona Lakula, Gabi Yisura Lachumra. Regarding Dini Mamonistic Suba, we go Lakula, and therefore he doesn't have to pay her. But by Yisura, are they married or not? We have to be Machmir. And therefore, he has to pay her. He has to give her the get. So he does not have to be the Ksuba, but he has to give her the get. Again, we're Misupik. So Yisura is about to ask, Gabi Mamona Lakula, and therefore he does not have to pay her the get, pay her the money. By Mamonis, it's a very unusual lashon. There's never a kula by Mamonis, because a kula for one person is a chumra for the other. I don't have to pay you, Lakula. What is it? It's a chumra, you're not getting my money. So it doesn't really mean you're Lakula. That's what Rashi says. What does it mean, Lakula? Hamotze mechaver alavaraya. Lakula just means, you know, keep the money where it is. Sheva al tasa. It doesn't really mean Lakula. It just means, b'makam safek, we don't act. So that's what it really means. Here, Amosem Chaveru, Alav Araya. Could she marry a Kohen? Would that be enough Gamina? A get me Drabanan we had in Yavamas. That's Reach Haget, maybe. Reach. That's right. It was Machlo Shabbos Hillel. But even we do pask in some Reach Haget. We saw a Rambam there. And we do pask, even though you're right, that is Machlo Shabbos Hillel, but we do pask in some Reach Haget there. I don't know if that would be a difference. Interesting case, is one get, which direction would you say it goes? You know, it's more, you know, is number one holding that it's vade nothing? And number two is maybe it's vade something. So maybe, but it's we're misupic about it. Okay, interesting ha'ara. Okay, there's more to talk about here, but let's try to continue first. Amar Rabba. So now Rabba is going to have a statement about the machlokas Rabba and Shmuel. Again, Rabba and Shmuel, what's that about? Rabba and Shmuel, Makadish al Tznai, Bekan Sestam, whether you need to get. Rabba, machlokas betoshti noshim. This whole machlokas between Rabba and Shmuel, you know, you marry somebody, you do kiddushin with a condition, you get married without a condition, we don't know what your das is. That's only by two women. That's the machlokas. What does that mean? We're going to go with Rashi's pshat throughout this Gemara. The Rif has a totally different pshat. We're going to go with Rashi. What does it mean by two women? If I go over to one woman and say, I'm makadesh her on condition that she has no nadarim, and then I go over to another woman, I can marry two women, or I go over to another woman and I marry her stam without saying a word. Do we assume that because I make conditions with women A, that I'm that type of guy? I'm a type of guy that makes conditions when I get married, and therefore we assume those conditions carry over to woman B, or not? That's the machlokas. Rav says, right, Rav would say there that we assume the conditions do not carry over. Therefore, you need a get from the second woman. And Shmuel says, no, the conditions do carry over. You don't need a get. Aval betos isha achas. Divri yakolin tzvicha meno get. But if you only talk about one woman, meaning you make a tznai at the moment of kedushin and you don't repeat it, of course you still mean that. Why should you assume that you made the condition? Why should we assume not? So that's not the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The whole machlokas is only by two women. We assume, does the condition carry over? But if it's one woman for sure, everybody agrees like Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Amar Abayah, one minute. But Masisin does Isha Achasi. Our Mishnah is about one woman. We just had 20 lines of asking on Chita Shmuel and Rav from our Mishnah. And our Mishnah is about one woman. So you see, obviously, that the issue Rav and Shmuel are talking about is one woman. Because we had a whole discussion based on the Mishnah from it. So Abai says, you're right. No, this is what Rabba meant to say. Amar Rabba. Machlokes betosh isha achas ke'ein shnei nashim. The machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is by a case of one woman that's like two women. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. I get married to a woman. Right? Rashi explains in the last few skinny lines. I'm the kaddish a woman al tanai. And then I divorce her min ha'erison. After Erison, I don't marry her. I divorce her min ha'erison. And then I marry her again. Without saying a word. That's one woman, but it's two stages, right? It's a second, a totally different marriage. I made a tanai upon kiddushin, and then I divorced her, and then I get married to the same woman again. That's ke'ein shtei nashim. So do we say there, it's the same woman, that the kiddushin that he made the first time would carry over to the second one? That's the machlokas. Rav would say it does not carry over, and therefore they're married. Shmuel says it does carry over. Aval betosi shachas greidasa. But and that could fit into the Mishnah then, because the Mishnah is like one, and that's the case of the Mishnah. That would be the case of the Mishnah according to this pshat. But the ta'us of one woman, stam one woman, if I made kiddushin with her with conditions and then I did not repeat it, then for sure I do not need a get. Period. Rashi here quotes a second pshat of what does it mean, isha achas ke'ein shtei nashim, and Rashi rejects it out of hand. But it's very halacha lemaisa, not halacha lemaisa, it's in Yonah Diyoma of this week's parsha. Rashi says, look at the second wide line in Rashi. Va'ani shamati. I heard another pshat. What does it mean? Tos isha achas ke'ein shtei nashim kegon shekidish Rachel al tanai. I don't know why Rashi uses these names, right? You're makadish Rachel al tanai, and then you have kavana to marry Leah without saying a word, and boom, it turns out to be Rachel. You makadish Rachel al tanai, and then you wanted to marry Leah without saying a word, no conditions, and you did it, and the next morning you're like, oh, it's Rachel, it's not Leah. So do we say there? That's isha achas ke'ein shtei nashim. So look what Rashi says. V'kashali, I don't think that's a good shot. Why? Nihi nami din eskabim livel l'shem kedushin. Fine, you could say he had kavana for a kedushin here. Halav l'rachel l'chavi, but might tzricha get. Of course they're not married. The whole thing is betos. He didn't marry the woman that he thought he was marrying. So what's the problem? I looked around last night. I couldn't find it. I'm sure it's out there. I couldn't find it. So why was Yaakov married to Leah? The whole thing was a mistake. The whole thing was a mistake. So what he should... Oh, it was a mistake. I'm not married. This week's parasha. So it's got to be out there, so that's our homework. So our homework to find out. Nobody here talks about it. This Rashi. It's mamish, the same names Rashi uses, just the opposite. It's the opposite of the Parsha. Right, so Sorach Ian. So right, we know if there's ever a mechap tos in a marriage, I'm marrying to you and I'm assuming that on condition, right? If it's the wrong woman, don't we say that it's not a marriage? If you marry the wrong woman? So why was Yaakov married to, okay, that's the Kasha, and... So Rashi doesn't say that. This is what Rashi says, though. Forget the Inaz Bilas Bilas Nus. But it's the wrong woman. They're not married. Okay. Kasha. But Rashi rejects that as a pshat of the Gemara, but it's Parshas HaShavua. Let's go back. So says the Gemara, Eis Ve'abaye. So we have, again, what did Rabba just say about the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? The Machlokas is only about one woman ke'ain two women. Which is what case? The case of, the first part of Rashi, I marry a woman, I do a kiddushin al tanai, then I divorce her, and then I marry her again. But, in a case of two women, I do kiddushin to one woman, and then I marry a different woman, then for sure, if it's a regular case of one woman, then for sure, everybody agrees you do not need a get. So, Eis Ve'abaye. The Gemara has three questions. We'll do two of them today. Eis Ve'abaye, Kitsha B'taos. If somebody makes a Kiddushin B'taos, what does that mean? We'll see that we're going to assume in the Havamina that this means making a Kiddushin, no Nadarim. Upacha B'Shava Pruta, if a man makes a Kiddushin, gives a woman less than a Shava Pruta, V'chein Kansha Kiddush, or a Katan, gets married, right? A Katana, there are ways for a Katana to get married, but a Katan can't get married. Can there be Ishus at all? That's a discussion Rashi tells us in Yevamos, we had it. And in a kiddushin, but pashas a kohen can't get married. Even though in all these cases you sent her presents afterwards, and you might say that aren't the presents? Isn't that mashlim the shava pruta? Or maybe the katan who now turned a gadol is now sending her presents to shame kiddushin. In all these cases, ainim mukudeshes. It does not work. Shemach was kiddushin mishonim shalach. Because in all these cases, we assume that the chasen is just thinking that he's already married to her, and now he's just sending her a gift, and therefore they're not married. But in all these cases, if he is then boel her, he is then kona her and married her. Meaning, even though he only gave her a pachat b'shava pruta earlier, but now he's boel her, so we assume it's kiddushin bia. Even though he was a katan earlier, but now he's a gadol, we assume it's kiddushin. No. Even if he's boel her later, we assume he still has the original ideas in mind. He was a katan, they're not married. So the Gemara, so this is like a case of one woman. We're not talking about two women. We're talking about one woman here. And my love to toss the darim. And what's the first case listed in the Brisa? Kitsha b'taus. What does the word mistake mean? Doesn't that mean that you married her on condition that she had no nadarim, and it comes out that she had nadarim, and you didn't mention it again at the marriage, and you see there's a machlokas, and we just said there is no machlokas by a case of one woman, that's what Rabbi said, and here there's a machlokas. So Gemara says, no, lo, this Brisa has nothing to do with us. Lo, ta'os pachat b'shava pruta. This Brisa has nothing to do with nadarim. No, the mistake was that you gave her less than a shava pruta. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That's the next part of the Brisa. Pachas b'shava pruta behedyuk tani law. Kitsha b'taos b'pachas b'shava pruta. There's a vav in between. There's two cases in the Brisa. The Gemara says, no. Pirushik and mafarish. Really, the first phrase is explained by the second phrase. Pirushik and mafarish. Kitsha b'taos ketzad. What's the case of getting married and having a mistake? Kagon shekitsha b'pachas b'shava pruta. You gave her less than a shava pruta. And that's the machlokas, and there's a machlokas about that, which has nothing to do with us, our Nadarim case. But by Kabifiki, then what's the machlokas about then? We have a machlokas here. If a man gives a woman less than a sheva pruta, and the following week he lives with her, are they married or not? So what's the machlokas about? Mar, sabar, adam, yodei, shingi, dishu, dovzim, pachat, sheva pruta. The first one opinion says that everybody knows that they're not really married. You need a pruta. Everybody knows the first mission, kiddushin. You have to give her a pruta. The gamar bol, shem, kiddushin. So it must be that this bia was a bia l'shem kiddushin. Umar sabar, ein adam, yodei, shingi, dishu, dovzim, pachat, sheva pruta. And the other one says, no, not everybody is aware of that halacha. Maybe other halachas of marriage, but not that halacha. V'chika bala, that's the condition we show in the bala, and he still has, he thinks he's already married, and he's just living with her as husband and wife, so therefore, they do not need, there is the kinyan does not take place. Period, and they're not married. Number two, Eisvei number two on Rabba. Again, what was Rabba Shita? Rabba said that the machlokas between Rabba and Shmuel is not by one woman. If it's just a regular case of one woman, I makadish a woman al tnai, and I do not reiterate the tnoim at the time of the knisa, at the time of the nisuin. For sure, Rabba says, you do not need a get, because it was a kiddushin. So what, you didn't reiterate it. That's Rabba's shita. So again, second question on that. Eisvei. Hareini ba'alaicham nashi yirtza abba. The father of the woman is not around at the time of the kiddushin. So let's say a man says, I'm going to marry you on condition that your father likes me. Right, I don't want to be in a marriage where my in-laws, I don't have a good relationship. So, what? Not a ktan. No, regular case. All right, I'm going to be bol. You almanash sheyir tza'aba. On condition that your father likes me. So, ava lishlo ratza'aba mekudesh. As Tanakama says, even if the father comes and says, I don't like this guy for a son-in-law, so what? They're married. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda omer, Rav Shimon, ratza'aba mekudesh, lo ratza'aba mekudesh. No, it works. If the father likes him, approves of the marriage, they're married. And if not, not. So again, what's this machlokas about? It's as if there was a condition here, and there was a condition. I'm going to ask that your father likes me, and it's talking about one woman, and you see there's a machlokas about this. Didn't Rabbah say that whenever there's just one woman and there's a condition, there's no machlokas? So the Gemara said, no. Again, that machlokas is about something totally different. This is specific, detailed machlokas here. Mar savar amanashi yirtza'av. What do the words mean? If I say your father is rotzeh, your father wants me, how much do I need him to express himself that he's interested in me? First opinion says, amanashi yirtza'av, amanashi yishto ka'av. All I need is the father doesn't say anything negative about me. He's quiet. Do you like him, Dad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't say a word. That's enough for me. As long as he's not negative. Here he was quiet. That's the case. He came back and he was quiet. So if he's quiet, that's where he said that the condition works. Hey, no. The other one said, no. The father has to come give me a hug. The father has to say, yes, I love you as a son-in-law. And here he didn't say hein. So therefore, it would not be a good marriage. So again, Rabbah is still saved. We have two kashas on him and we answered him. Okay, this is going to be Esrei number 3. We'll stop here. But we'll continue tomorrow. Tomorrow, again, we have important yesodos about Tznayim and Shlichus and Tznai. Very important tosis on tomorrow's daf. But Hashem, we will continue. Today's shiur was sponsored Le Zechon Ishmas, Brian Dobas, or Moshe Zev. So who's